I want to talk to you tonight about faith, but in a little bit different way. And we're going to talk about the story about how when the 12 spies went in to spy out the land. And tonight I want to locate us in that picture and then begin to put that into our own lives. If you're watching online, thank you for joining us. God is so good. We're so excited that you're with us. But if you go with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to start out in verse 31. But the men who'd gone up with him said, "We are not able to go against those people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land in which they had spied out, saying, "The land though which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw are like men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." See, they had a promise from God. We're going to read a little bit more about it. But they had a promise from God that you need to go into the land. I brought you out of the Egyptian place and out of the bondage, and I brought you and you've went through the desert for a little bit, but I'm going to take you into the land that flows with milk and honey. And the people went in, and it was exactly like God told them it was going to be. Exactly. But they said, "We see the giants bigger than we see you." And for us, oftentimes, it's when we get into the situations where our giants appear that we lose sight of who God is. We lose sight of how big God is. We begin to see our God through our circumstances rather than seeing our circumstances through our God. Are you with me?
Yes.
What I'm telling you tonight, the battle that we face, we often lose because we get to the place of the giants and we quit talking about God being our good, good Father. We quit talking about how God has blessed us so far and what God has promised us, and we begin to talk about our circumstances. "God, you told me that you love me, but Sister Susie said this about me, or you said you'd meet all of my needs, right? You said you'd take care of me, but God, do you see the size of this bill?" Right? And so we start meditating on the problem instead of meditating on God. Come on. And I'm telling you tonight that we have to keep our eyes focused on Him no matter what we're going through. All of us will fight battles. In fact, He said that He always leads us into triumph, right? You can't have triumph without a battle. Hello?
Yeah.
But sometimes the greater the battle, watch this, the greater the battle, the greater the victory will be. But who do you see yourself as? Do you see yourself through the view of the giant or through the view of God? Because if we see ourselves through the view of God, then all of His promises are backing up who we are. Are you with me? But let's look at this a little further because I want to show you this. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And verse 8 says this. God speaking, He said, "I've come down to deliver," I'm talking to Moses, "them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up to that land, a good land and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites." He said, they're there. We know they're there. But God said, "I've come down," and I'm going to use Moses, right? I'm going to use him, right, to deliver my people out of bondage and into the promised land. So God said it. They had his promise that he said. What has God said to us tonight? He said he'd never leave us, right? He said he'd never forsake us. He said he'd give us wisdom. He said that he'd give us joy, that his joy is in our heart. He said, come on, that we're filled with his spirit. Is that what he said? But when trouble comes, we begin to look at our troubles through who we are instead of who he is. They had the promise. Let's look at a couple other verses that reiterate that. If you go down to verse 17 of Exodus chapter 3, it says, and I have said, everybody say, and I have said. And God has said, what has God said to you? Have you read the Bible? Because if you've read the Bible, he's saying that to you, right? And oftentimes, he'll speak to our hearts too. He'll tell us things in our hearts. And yet, our hearts, our spirits, hear what he's saying, but our mind, because it's touching what we can see, what we can feel, what we can taste, what we can touch, begins to see the giants instead of what God has said. And God said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Over and over he's doing this. Go to chapter 13 and verse 5. So God isn't just saying this once to them. He's reminding them over and over. And it shall be when the Lord brings you to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Allites, which he swore to give to your the fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, that you should keep this in service in this month. In other words, God is over and over saying, when I do this, when I deliver you there, then this is what you're going to do. Come on, over and over and over again. And in chapter 33 of Exodus, chapter 33, he says, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up, in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. What he's saying is, look at this. You haven't followed me the way I have asked you to follow me. You go up and see what you can do on your own. Right? You go up. But watch this. That's under the Old Testament. This is so good. That's under the Old Testament. And the Old Testament really was, you do this and I'll do this. Under the New Testament, it's, I did this and you walk in this. In other words, his grace is not conditioned on what we've done or what we haven't done. I'm not telling you can go out and just live your life in sin and, you know, not expect to reap the results of that. In fact, God will get on your case. You know, he will. He does, because he loves you. But here's the bottom line. God promised them the land with milk and honey. God told them there was other people there right now. But I'm going in with you, and I'm going to take care of the situation. All right? Let's go back to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. Verse 1, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, for everyone a leader among them. He's saying, look, you got all the 12 tribes. I want you to send one from every one of them. But listen what he said. Send men out to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving you. See, there wasn't a question about can you. There was, I am going to. The I am said that. And so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, and all that went with them. I'm going to skip some of this, but it talks about who all went. And then verse 17. And then Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan, and he said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. Moses should have never said this. He should have never said this. He should have said, go see where God's sending us. Right? Go out and see where God's sending us. Because it doesn't matter whether they're weak or strong. It doesn't matter whether they're tall or short. It doesn't matter. If God is with us, then the circumstances that surround us have no bearing on the case. God said, case closed. Right? And for us, oftentimes we say, God said, but, you know, God said he would be with me, but I don't feel him right now. God said for me to love my neighbor, but I don't feel like it right now. God said that he'd give me peace, but I'm not feeling peace right now. My mind is going 1,000 miles an hour. You see, when God promises you something, you have to meditate on that promise and keep that as the forefront of your mind and make sure that your thoughts line up with what he said, not with what you're thinking. It's so good. It's so good. Verse 21, it says, so they went up and spied the land of the wilderness of Zin. I love that, Zin. How would you like to be from a place from Zin? Okay, and so they went up, and verse 23, then they came to the valley of Eshol, and they cut down a branch with one cluster of grape, and they carried it between two of them on a pole. God said, I'm sending you to a land. I mean, you're not going to believe what's there. Amen. And so just imagine, they'd seen grapes before, right? They'd seen fruit before. But when they got there and they saw them, they went, right? And it was so big, right, that they, one cluster of grapes. Yeah. Have you ever gone to the store and bought a cluster of grapes? You probably didn't need a pole to carry them home, right? Right? But they needed a pole. So watch this. They had evidence that what God said was absolutely true. Yeah. They had evidence that God spoke to them, and this is the reality of what you're seeing. Right? What has God said to you? Yeah. What promises have God already made true to you? When has he brought you through something? When is, as you're believing God for something, that, man, it came to pass. Right? In our past, we see that, and we have evidence of who God is and what he can do. Listen, if somebody gives a testimony, oftentimes, and I had one lady one time come up to me, you know, I hear all these testimonies of everybody else, but God never does anything for me. Have you ever felt like that? Yes. I have, right? I mean, in my flesh, I feel that. But you know what God said? He said he's no respecter of persons. So what he did for one, he'll do for another. So rather than letting our thoughts take us down to what we don't have, we have to get our thoughts back on to who we have. Come on, right? So amazing, so amazing. Glory to God. And so they get back and they gave the report. And we're going to go to chapter 14. They began to look at the circumstances. And then they said, yes, it's just like God said it was. But we're so small. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And I imagine that was so. I just imagine they weren't tall people, but these giants that they were talking about in the records and commentary, they were 8-9 feet tall, big guys. Remember Goliath and how huge he was? Some of his people. But you see, again, okay, that's what it looks like, but this is what God has said. Right? Go to chapter 14. Chapter 14. And we're going to skip down. I'm actually going to start in verse 5, Josh, I'm sorry. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Because the children of Israel, when the evil spies brought back the report, they said, we want to kick Aaron out, we want to kick Moses out, we want to get a new leader, and we want to head back to Egypt. How many of us got born again, walking with God, watching God's love be in us? And then we have this thought, well, you know, that partying was that was fun. This was okay. Maybe I should go back and do, you know, this working for God. You know, I've come up with some struggles, and I thought all my life would just be easy peasy and I'd never have any trouble, and all of a sudden I've got a few struggles, and maybe I should just return. So that's what these folks were saying. But watch this. Verse 6. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephthah, who were among those who'd spied out the land, tore their clothes. Think about that. Here's the spies. And they come back and they give the report. And all of the people that are around them are going, burr, 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 burr. Look at these circumstances. Look at these circumstances. Right? And we have, even in our lives, we have brothers and sisters and maybe even relatives. When God has spoken something to you and you're about to get involved in that and you have all these obstacles. Well, you know, sometimes God does, sometimes God doesn't. But, you know, you should just accept your lot in life, right? No, no. You ought to be like these two guys. When they started speaking against what God said, based on what they saw, right? They began to rip their clothes and go, no, wait a minute. Hold it. Stop it. Shut up. Right? Shut up. You know, you have to tell yourself to shut up. Right? You have to tell your mind to stop. Why? Because if God said, I'm delivered, I'm delivered. If God said, I'm free, then I'm free. When the devil says, oh no, you're just back in that old bondage, you say, oh no, 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 no. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I am free indeed in Jesus' name. I refuse to look at myself through myself. I refuse to look at my circumstances by myself. Okay, let's go on. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceeding good land. Come on. Same report. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land which flows with milk and honey. Come on. Did you know that the Lord delights in you? How many have made Jesus the Lord of your life? Right. Amen. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I mean, you can meditate on that forever. So I don't care what circumstances that you're facing, and I don't care about your past. I don't care about what you've done or haven't done. Jesus loves you. And God thinks you're so worthy that he paid the price of his Son so that you could be his son or his daughter. Isn't that good? If God is for us, Paul said, who can be against us? If God be for us, tonight we've got to make that determination that God is for me. See, when you wake up tomorrow and you don't know what to do, you need to remind yourself, wait a minute, stop it, thoughts, stop it. God is for me. God is with me. God is with me. You see, you got to see yourself not as the grasshopper that you are in your flesh, but you need to see yourself arrayed in the armor of God, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the knowledge of His will according to His Word, and said, there is nothing, nothing that can stop me from receiving what God has for me. I am a force to be reckoned with because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. I refuse to have a grasshopper complex when God has given me His Spirit, His Word, come on, His promises. Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Again, watch this now. Verse 8. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread, and their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. If you ever thought about it, when you begin to let your mind race, and you begin to let your thoughts take you away from the security that's in the promise of God, what you're really choosing to do is rebel. I'm rebelling against the promise of God. And I know that none of us would do that on purpose, I mean, because that would be dumb. But we do it because we're looking at ourselves through our circumstances rather than reminding ourselves of who God is. I don't have this down there, but it keeps coming up, so we're going to go there. Go with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. The 91st Psalm, and you all know it, but let's go there. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Did you know that's you? Jesus is our high priest, it says in Hebrews, so that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. So, but when we don't feel Him, when we don't seem like things are working, what do? Well, I guess God's not on the job. I guess He slept in. I guess He'd be there for Janine, but He's not going to be there for me. Right? He'd be there for Big Shot Joe Spiritual that we see on TV, but, you know, who am I? I'll tell you who I am. And again, I'm not bragging on me, but I'm a child of the Most High God. I have been given the Spirit of God who dwells on the inside of me. He has made me more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I am a believer, so as a believer, I have the right to preach the gospel. But when I preach the gospel, I don't have to even worry about the words that I have to speak, because the Spirit of God inside of me at that self same hour will give me the words to speak. Who am I? I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, not based on what I've done, but based on who I've become in Jesus. Are you with me? So now watch this again. This is so good. He who dwells in the secret, that's me. Come on, that's me. Is that you? Yes, it is. But we get out of the secret place when we go to our desperate place. When we go to our thoughts of, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You know, yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I just don't know. I mean, you know, look at the economy, right? Who's going to be president? You know, look at what's going on in this group and that group, and look at all of that. See, what you're doing is you're seeing the giants. Come on. And seeing the giants will rob you of your peace every time. Every time. But when you come back, no, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That's where I'm seeking. But watch this. Verse 2 says, I will say, Everybody say, I will say. When's the last time you said anything? Come on, about the Lord. When's the last time you got up to your thoughts in the morning and say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. When is the last time when your thoughts were pulling you away from the promise that you got up and spoke to those thoughts? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my strength. Years ago, I went through something. It was, you know, there's a lot of fear involved, but I can remember driving in the car, and as I'm telling you this, I'm reliving this, right? One of those moments. Why, God? Why, God, is this happening? Yet, even though everything that my thoughts are coming, all of the things that could happen are whirling around in my head, even if all of that happens, yet I will praise Your name because You're good. You're good. You're good. I'm Your son. You're good. I'm going to say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. What does that mean? He's the place that I go when I'm in trouble. Cities of refuge, and many of you know this, in Israel under the law, they had certain cities of refuge. And if you, for instance, killed somebody by accident, you know, well, if you kill somebody and their family found out, they're coming after you. But if you reach the city of refuge, they couldn't touch you as long as you're in the city of refuge. If you got out, well, good luck. But those cities of refuge were places you could go to be safe. I say of the Lord, He is my safe place. He's my safe place. Right? He's my fortress. Come on, devil. Give it your best shot. But listen, you're not talking to me anymore. You're talking to my big brother. Because I'm coming at you in the name of Jesus. Right? Because I'm saying of the Lord, He's my fortress. He's my refuge. Come on. There's no thing that could come. Surely, He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowlers, and on and on and on. But watch this. You've got to make that personal. I know that we all face struggles. I know that, you know, that our bodies, the older we get, the less they work the way they used to, right? And right? And I know that sometimes, you know, our relatives or our kids or what start to drive us crazy, right? But are we looking at the circumstances? Are we getting in the Word and reflecting on what God has said and what His promises are? Are you with me? I'm not a grasshopper. I refuse to be a grasshopper, refuse to have that mentality, but I will become a grasshopper if I don't begin to say who God is to me. You see, because speaking things brings the authority of the Word of God into your circumstances. I can't go down that road too far, but just to say, if we keep our mouth shut, then we're just going to agree. Like if Joshua and Caleb would have just kept their mouth shut right then, what they would have been is in agreement with what the other spies were saying. But they said, no, that's not right. That's not true. And that's, if we want to be giant slayers, we can't do it with a closed mouth. You've got to speak. You've got to speak. And I'm not saying you have to go out to all your neighbors and relatives and say, well, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you need to look in the mirror and say. You need to tell your mind and say. You have to get the promise of God before your eyes and say. Are you with me? Again, I'm going all over the place, and sorry guys for this, but go to Psalm 1. Are y'all getting something tonight? The first Psalm. Blessed is the man. Blessed, it means happy. It means favored. It means full is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is the counsel of the ungodly? It's anything that violates what God said. So if God said this and somebody says that, that's ungodly counsel. Who walks not in the, in other words, I respect your opinion and I thank you that you care about me and that you're trying to, but I'm not going to walk in that. That's not where I'm going to head, right? Nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. Everybody say delight. Do you love? Is it motivation to you? It says in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And the law here is speaking of really the Torah, but for us, it's the whole Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. Is your delight in the Word of God? And if it is, then you have a present help in a time of trouble. Why? Because if you say, Holy Spirit, you know what I'm going through. And I've done this, I can't tell you how many times I've done this. Holy Spirit, I need a scripture to stand on. Yeah. Oftentimes when I'm looking for direction, I don't do this a lot, but I've done it on certain occasions. Holy Spirit, I need a scripture. And I'll tell you, he'll go, well, read Psalm 37. The whole thing? Yeah, read the whole thing. And I'll read through it, and there'll be a verse that goes, and it speaks to my heart. It speaks to the issue. I then have something to stand on. You see, in order to slay the thoughts of the giants, you've got to have a picture of who God is. I was telling you of that story that when I was, why God, yet though they slay me, I'll praise your name. I got this scripture, and many of you know it. It's found, these guys back here, are Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, fear not. Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, I am with thee. And you start meditating on that. Could you pull that up for me? 41:10, Isaiah 41:10. And we're going to go through 13. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. See, God's speaking to you tonight. God is speaking to you tonight to quit fearing the giants in your life. Because God is with you. In that time, God spoke this to me in a... it's a whole story, but I am your God. I will strengthen you. I love this part. Yes, I will help you. Come on. I was, boy, it didn't feel like it at the time. It didn't seem like it at the time. It was a rough, rough time. I will help you. I will uphold you. This is so good. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, the right hand symbolizes power. Yeah. Come on. It symbolizes power. Behold, all those who are incensed against you. All of those who are talking about the giants. All of those who are telling you you can't. All of those who are even whispering things about the radical stand that you're speaking. Behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. They shall, watch what, you shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold, this is your right hand. Fear not, I will help you. Remember, he said that I will help you or uphold you with my righteous right hand. But then he said, I'll hold your right hand. And to me, what this speaks of is, I got this. You don't have to do a thing. It's not your strength. It's my strength. Fear not. Fear not. What giants are in our lives? What is trying to rob us of what God has promised us? We need to begin to say, wait a minute. I refuse to walk in fear. I refuse to walk in it with an attitude that is any less positive about what God has said and what he's promised. And, you know, listen, really, the bottom line is, if we died tonight, it's the best day of your life. Yeah. Right? Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yeah. Right? People are telling you because of your past you can't do things, but that's not true. It's not true. If God before me, who can be against me? If God's telling me or giving me a vision to do something, then we can do it. Over and over we can do it. A couple things. But you have to be very careful about what you allow to come into your mind, but especially what you allow to come out of your mouth. Years ago, and Sarah was the youth leader at the time, and she was working with foster kids, and she said, she came into my office, well, you know, the Lord's put on my heart that we're supposed to rent out Miracle Ranch and invite all the foster kids in Kitsap County and host them free of charge. Amen. Really? Cool. We couldn't pay our bills at the time, really. I mean, we were believing God. There were several months where I didn't take a salary and, you know, just the way it was at the time. Really, that's what we're supposed to do? Cool. Cool. But my first thought was, when she was telling me this, my thought was, ain't no way. Ain't no way. There's no way we could do that. But I didn't let that come out of my mouth. I said, let's pray about that for a little while. And when I began to pray, it just dropped. Let's do it. Let's do it. And we did it for 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row. And many, many kids heard the word of God. Many kids were blessed. Watch this. Because we didn't look at our lack. We looked at God's supply. We were involved. We did some fundraising. We did all of that. But we have to take our eyes off of the giant of lack. If God's called us to do something, you have to take your eyes off lack. And you have to put your eyes, okay, God. What's the first step? What's the first step? What do you want me to do? Because I'm headed toward that direction. Amen? It's so good. And we did it. It was so awesome. Go with me. Watch it. This is so good. What you truly see in your heart will affect what you say and do. Let me say that again. What you truly see in your heart will affect what you say and what you do. So in other words, if in your heart is, you know, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace and God doesn't like me that much anyway because, you know, my past, and that's what's going to start coming out of your mouth, and you'll be restricted in what you do for God based on that picture. Instead of getting the picture, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. He who became sin for me so that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not righteous in myself. I'm not bragging on me. But this is what God promised. And that's how I'm going to view myself. And so that's what I'm going to say when the doubt comes at me. Because if I don't, I'll ponder in my heart who I am outside of Christ. And that's what I'll begin to say, and my actions will follow that. Faith in what God said will cause you to say and do things that are impossible for you to do. Because if you could do it, it doesn't take God. But faith in God will take you from your ability and into His ability. Are you with me? Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And this is the story about, you know, Jesus is walking by a fig tree and there was no figs on it. And Jesus cursed it. It died at the roots, right? Just think about that. I mean, watch this. Jesus speaks to this tree and you're walking by him. Looks the same to you. And the disciples actually walked back by it that evening. Looked the same to them. I don't know what's going on. But watch this. But now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. I just imagine Jesus going, yeah? What'd you expect? What did you expect? I said it. I know you said it, Lord, but when I say things, it doesn't necessarily happen like that. You remember the time I talked to you about my mother-in-law. I mean, she didn't change. I mean, you know, it just wasn't the same. But watch this now, he goes on to say. So Jesus answered and said unto him, based on this conversation, this is how he answered Peter. You saw the fig tree, man, it's dried up. Jesus, did you see that? And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. He's talking to them. He's talking to disciples and to Peter specifically, but his disciples in general. And he's talking to you and me tonight. Have faith in God. Faith means to have confidence in, rely upon, and don't doubt. Have faith in God. And one version says, have the faith of God. But watch this. Have faith in God. In other words, what has God promised? Have faith in Him that He's backing the promise. You know, sometimes we look, Lord, I need more faith for healing. I need more faith for finances. I need more faith for whatever category. But I don't think that's necessarily true. What you need to do is have more confidence in Jehovah Rapha, the God who is the healer. Jehovah Jireh, God who is the provider. See, you need to see God as those things to you. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I want you to notice here that belief is mentioned one time, but out of the mouth of the believer, saying is mentioned three times. Why is that? Because what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. And sometimes you may not fully believe it in your heart when you first say it. But the more you say it, the more it becomes real to you. But again, listen to what he says. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And I've heard people say, well, you know, that was a metaphor. He wasn't talking about a mountain. My response is, it was a fig tree. It was a real fig tree. And he was relating to Peter about him speaking to that fig tree, right? So watch this. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Here's what I'm saying. If we're going to be giant slayers, we have to hear what God says. And then we have to believe what he says. And then we have to say what he says. And then act on what he says. Right? What would have happened if the crowd would have followed the 2 instead of the 10? There would have been 40 years in the wilderness that would not have happened. it would not have happened. They'd have all went in instead of dying. He says, that evil generation didn't enter into my rest because of their unbelief. I believe this. I love the verse, the scripture where the dad's coming. He goes, Jesus said, only believe, all things are possible. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You see, the saying, what God says over and over again, helps you build not only your faith, but drives out your unbelief. Come on, you got to have that in your arsenal. What am I saying? I'm saying it's like this. You're believing God. God's told you, for instance, that you're supposed to go to Uganda. You think, that's impossible. I can't do it. I don't have the money to go that. I don't have the first thing about doing that. But you know in your heart that God's told you to do that. So you start speaking to the need. You start saying with your mouth, the provision will come. I'm going to Uganda. He'll supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I ask anything according to His will, He'll give it to me. He's the one that spoke to me to go to this country, so He's going to do it. But I'm going to continue to say that over and over and over and over again. And when it comes, like, I don't know if you can do that or not. I don't know if you can do that or not. I don't know if you can. No, you have to begin to say and believe. And watch this. That'll cause you to do. I said, that'll cause you to do. What does that mean? I believe I'm going to Uganda. So I'm getting my passport ready. Right? I'm going to go get the shots. I'm going to go, whatever is necessary. Yeah, but you don't have the money. What if the money doesn't come? That's not my problem. My problem is to do. But I believe he'll give it to me. It's time to close, but I'm going to give you this one last story, and then we'll close. Years ago, I hadn't been saved very long. But I was at a full gospel businessman meeting, and many of you don't know what that is, but it was a time in the... But I was at a meeting in Seattle, and in that meeting, they were planning a short-term mission trip to Honduras. Here I am. I'm building a house at the time. I didn't have any extra money, nothing. But they said at the end of the meeting, anybody that feels like God wants them to go on this trip, come on up, we'll pray for you. And I thought, I want to go. You know, it was in my heart. I want to go. And so I walked down there and prayed for me. And the man who was talking to me, you know, I said, but you know, really, I don't have any money. He said, don't worry about that. You just continue to believe that God will bring you the money. Yeah. Right? I worked at a job and we never had overtime. It was a 40-hour job. It was an okay paying job. Everything was good, but it paid my bills and a little bit extra, but that was it. Well, this was in January. We were leaving like in the end of June. The whole month of February, we worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And at that shop, I got double time for overtime. God supplied the trip. Come on. But He wouldn't have supplied the trip if I didn't agree to go and believe Him for the finances. See, you got to see yourself through the promise of God instead of the circumstances that you're in right now. I'm no longer a grasshopper. Although it's easy to slip back into that. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I have what He said I have. He said that I'm not to fear, that I have got power and love and a sound mind. I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart. Come on. I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I can cast out demons in His name. I can speak with new tongues. I can preach the gospel. I can sow seeds because of the power that resides on the inside of me. Y'all get something tonight? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for tonight. I thank You for the word that's gone forth. I ask You, God, to forgive us of grasshopper mentality and help us propel back into the, I can do what You ask me to do, Father, because You're the one who will supply everything that I need for it. You'll take care of my family here if you tell me to go somewhere. You'll do what needs to be done. So, Lord, we're asking you right now for big. We're asking you for dreams that can change people's lives. We're asking you, even like for the sale tomorrow, Lord, that you would just so supernaturally be on that, that it would so bless not only the people who come, but, Father, it would bless for the women's retreat. We just thank you that all of our needs are met. Father, we just give you the praise and the glory. We can do all things through you who strengthens us. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Bless all of those who are watching online, Lord. And I thank you for meeting their needs. I thank you for speaking to their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Amen, amen, amen. If anybody needs prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you. He's here tonight. If you have a need, he's here tonight. Come on. God believes in you, and so do I.